Oh man, see, this is how loud we get in. This is how loud we get, I'm telling you. Talking to that guy right here on CosmicBroadcasting.com. Don't forget you can download the Cosmic Broadcasting app free for your Apple or Android device. Let's jump right into it. We done talked pro football. We done talked college football. We talked about Jim Harbaugh possibly going to Michigan. And the biggest bust of all time. Right now, we want to go jump into the hardwood and bring my man Stephen Barnhart on of Hardwood Hoops Central. What's going on, brother?
Big Will Williams. Ain't nobody better to talk that hardwood than your boy.
Damn straight. Nobody. Damn straight. See, that's why we called you the pastor, man. Hey, it's time for another sermon.
It's time for some action.
That's it exactly. Hey, okay, before we even jump into it, question of the day. I've been throwing out to everybody. Biggest bust of all time. I know you got one on the hardwood. Tell me about him.
Now you want me to say Sam Bowie, don't you?
No, don't.
You want me to say it so bad. Listen, when people say Sam Bowie, they forget this man played 10 NBA seasons. Would have been 11 had he not fell out the 87-88 season with a leg injury. Now, this guy averaged almost 11-8 per game. Now, is that number two pick worthy? No. But you know what? He played a number of years before retiring. You give me Sam Bowie, I'll give you another number two pick. Hasheem Thabeet, UConn. Number two overall pick by Memphis Grizzlies in 09. Last season played 8 minutes per game for Oklahoma City. Waived prior to this season by an awful Detroit Pistons squad. And now he's playing overseas.
Ooh.
I add to that two more names real quick. Adam Morrison and Michael Olowokandi. If you want me to go in depth about those guys, I surely can. But those are two more guys you can add to. At least Adam Morrison's got two NBA championships to show for his bust status. But Michael Olowokandi, last time I checked, he's $15 million short after the board settlement from a quote unquote basketball wives chick. He is. Look it up. And he married like one of these troll looking chicks too. It's like, why would you? I thought because he's got to pay $1 million a year to this chick until she gets $15 million. So if I gotta pay $1 million a year, it's gonna be for something that don't look like Susie from Basketball Wives. I can assure you.
My man, that's how we start. Stephen Barnhart, Hardwood Hoops Central. All right, man, let's dive into a couple of things that's been on my mind. First and foremost, let's see, Lakers, Celtics. All of a sudden, we got photos of Kobe and Rajon eating dinner or lunch or whatever together. Is this trade going to go through or no?
I mean, look, at the end of the day, I don't believe Danny Ainge is ready to trade Rajon Rondo for anything. I don't know. I don't even think he'd be trading him a franchise for Rajon Rondo. Because if he was going to do it by now, I have the feeling that Danny Ainge is smart enough, wise enough to know that when he sees a good thing, he's going to go for it to better the franchise. He hasn't encountered that yet, so why would he?
Oh, hell, see? This is what happens when you try to go down and you go in and you end up losing the damn call. All right, hang on, folks. Let me get a hold of this dude again. All right, you were saying?
Yeah. So anyway, I don't think it's gonna happen because if Danny Ainge would have encountered something that he thought was gonna help the franchise, he would have won it by now. I mean, I don't care who he's having dinner with. What does dinner mean these days?
Right. You know?
I just wanted to pick up the check and how much the tab was. I'm more interested in that than the conversation itself.
I'm with you there. Let's stay over on that side and talk about this road of futility known as the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, before you go in on him, here's what I know about him. I know they have two number one picks. And they have seven guys. Here's the thing that blew my mind. Seven guys that were undrafted. How is this possible in the association? How does it let it get that bad?
Because it's on purpose. They're stockpiling picks so they can eventually take a team, put them on the court, and be good. Because, look, you have two ways you can become good in the NBA these days. You either do it through free agency, and that's having the money and an owner that's willing to pay whatever luxury tax he's got to pay. And then there's the other way where you basically go through the draft and you do it. I mean, Oklahoma City was fortunate to be able to go and get Durant, Westbrook, and then Harden. That doesn't happen to everybody, and all of a sudden you're a championship contender. So the 76ers are like, all right, once we hit, we're good. They got their point guard. They perceivably have a pretty good power forward. And so at this point, now you look at their center position. They hopefully have that locked up. So at this point, it's just about basically building around those three guys. They don't have anybody that can look. Tony Roten, nice pick and a nice prospect and everything like that. He's a combo guard. He'll probably be a sixth man before you want that team cut all figured out. There's just a lot of pieces and parts. They haven't put it all together yet, so they're just going to keep bombing until they get it right. And so until the NBA does something about it and says, hold on, pump your brakes. You can't do that anymore, this is what we're doing to change it, they're going to continue to do it, and other teams are going to follow suit.
In your honest opinion, is this a realistic plan for the Sixers, and will the fans be able to hold on for it?
I mean, hey, if you keep showing up to the games, what does it matter? So, the bottom line is, if I'm a fan, me personally, if my team stinks, I'm not paying attention anyway. What's the point? I'm not going to sit there and they're great, or they're going to be good, or whatever. Hey, you get it right, let me know. Call me, and then I'll buy some season tickets. But till then, don't worry about it. I don't have time for that, because I'd rather turn on a college basketball game and watch Texas play Kentucky, because at least then it looks like an NBA game compared to what you guys are playing.
That is true.
So, bottom line is, they get it right. Fans will buy in. Is it a viable plan to do it? I guess we'll see, because they're going to do it, whether I think so, or whether you think so, or whether the fan base thinks so. So if it works out, they'll be able to say, aha, we told you. And then the rest of us will be like, all right, cool, whatever, just go play.
Right. I got you there. Stephen Barnhart back on the line with us on CosmicBroadcasting.com. Hey, Pastor, I'm gonna play a clip for you because I want to get your opinion on this. This is courtesy of ESPN, the His and Hers podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, the lovely Jemele Hill.
So the other night, the MSG Network aired Carmelo Anthony's documentary, Made in New York. Because why wouldn't you air the documentary of a star player on a 4-15 team, right? And in it, Melo discusses how agonizing it was picking between New York and Chicago when he was a free agent last summer. Here's what Melo said. It came down to Chicago and New York. Chicago was the one that from day one was something that I was very impressed with. They was looking for a person like me to come in and just take them to the next level. So it was perfect. It was a perfect setup. Perfect fit for me in Chicago. But then also I had to think about just living in Chicago. Do I want to live in Chicago? Do I want to take everything that I created in New York and move all of that? It came down to that. Oh, I forgot. His heart never wavered. Isn't that what he told New York? Created in New York? You mean how could he leave this awesome legacy of first round exits and 38 and 40 win teams? How could Melo do that, right? Because he created so much in New York. He talking like he Derek Jeter, like he Reggie Jackson. He created a legacy in New York. He really not even from New York, Mike. That's your boy. What did you tell me the whole time talking about Melo? Oh, we should respect him because he's taking the difficult role. All I know is on this sorry team, all I've heard about is the documentary, him wanting to be a tech mogul. You know what I haven't heard? What's up with the triangle? You know what I haven't seen? Wins. That's what's up with it. Oh, no, Mike, you're going to get this work. Because
I'm going to stop it right there.
Hey, let me tell you something. To add to that, you know why I think he doesn't pick Chicago? Because there's expectations.
Uh-huh.
Here's a guy that goes to Denver, no expectations. For all intents and purposes, does okay. Comes to New York, there's no expectations again. And there hasn't been. I don't care if it's a triangle offense, oval offense, what shape it is. It don't make a difference. They don't have the personnel to run it. They're going to need to go get Marcus Saul at some point when he becomes a free agent. Put him in, if they can get him, put him in the middle, because if anybody who knows anything about the triangle offense, it's all revolved around having a key perimeter scorer and a passing big man, or at least pass-worthy big man. So, bottom line is, they don't have the pieces and parts. It's not anything to do with Melo. Melo, listen, Carmelo Anthony, at the end of the day, I've told people time and time again, don't put expectations on this man. He is a scorer. That is it. Everybody wants to say, oh, he's this great basketball player. Yes, he can do other things well. But the bottom line is, his mentality, his makeup, his DNA, who he is a scorer. He needs to be put with another player that can lead the team, do all those things that, that require championship winning, you know, to actually take place, and he'd just be the guy who goes out and gets you 30 points. That's who he is. You go to Chicago, you've got a coach that's going to be on your ass, expect you to play defense, which he hasn't done, and then on top of that, there's going to be actual expectations. Michael Jordan statues out in front. Now, all of a sudden, you got to deal with the Chicago kid, you know, that's there, Derrick Rose, and you're going to be taking a backseat to him, because why? He's a Chicago kid. He's the Messiah after Jordan. So, bottom line, why go to Chicago? Because I have my own legacy here. There's no expectations. I'm going to get paid more money. And the bottom line is, I'll let Phil Jackson figure it out, because if it doesn't get figured out, guess what? I don't get blamed for it. No expectations. Very simple.
So in other words, Melo ain't about that life.
No, he ain't about that life. If he wanted to win, he would have picked Chicago. And I'm a Chicago Bulls fan. And you know what? To be honest with you, I'm actually good with the fact that he didn't come there, because with the depth that the Bulls have, they don't have scoring problems this year. The defense has been a little subpar compared to what it's been in the past. So the offense, they're a top-10 offense this year. So it's not needing a score from the wing, because they got plenty of depth to be able to get those points. So adding him to the mix would have just added a ball stop and stopped the flow of offense. You don't really need that, especially in the triangle offense. Triangle offense is designed to get good scorers, better shots, and until that team actually becomes a crisp passing team and executes, and the scheme is there, locked in place with the right key players, that whole thing is just never going to work out. But again, it doesn't fall on Carmelo. It's lovely. It's beautiful. It'll never fall on him. And he'll go down and be a really good basketball. He'll be Earl of Pearl, you know, that kind of lore, you know, kind of thing behind him. And it'll be all good. He won't have to win anything. And if he doesn't, is anybody really going to be mad at the guy? Probably not. They'll say what they want to say, but there's been plenty of NBA greats who have retired with no championship rings. But I say this, sad to say the truth, there's plenty of guys who are a lot less talented than him that have a lot more rings. And so if I was him, this is winning time. Once you hit 30 and beyond, it's winning time. If you don't want to go out and win, hey, I can't blame you for wanting to go get money. But bottom line, it's going to come down to, did you win games? Did you contend for titles? And you haven't.
There it is. There it is in the story. Last question for you, and I appreciate you coming on. Speaking of great players, and I want to switch it over to great players to, in my opinion, holding on to something that's probably not going to be there within the next two, three years or whatever the hell it is. Is it time for Kobe Bryant to just give it up and walk away, or is there a possibility of the Lakers getting together for one last ride? Go ahead and entertain that one.
No, there's not. I mean, look, first of all, Kobe's leading the league in scoring, but I haven't looked up the numbers, but I'm pretty sure for a guy who's leading the league in scoring, shooting 39% is probably amongst the worst for a guy who's led the league in scoring. His usage rate is actually higher than what it was in 2005-06 season last time I checked. Which means, for those who don't understand usage rate means that every time a team gets the ball, how many possessions does that individual player use? And it's higher than the 2005-06 season, which is saying a lot. Now, bottom line is, I've told people that this is the year of the Black Mamba stat stuffing. He wants to make sure that you all don't remember this. 10, 15 years from now, you're going to remember the fact that this season he became the first NBA player to score 30,000 points and get 6,000 assists, which I honestly thought was a mistake. I thought it was meant to be 600 assists, but that's another story. But the bottom line is, you want to make sure that you're going to remember him, the legacy, the stats. And on top of that, he got fueled by who in the beginning? ESPN, ranking him number 40. So this has been a crusade of, hold on a second. I'm not done. I can do this. I can play with these young guys and be amongst the elite. What are you talking about? And so this is about Kobe Bryant making sure he keeps his legacy intact. People question his contract, and he'll sit there and say, but you know what? I led the league in scoring, and then what are you going to say? You know, it's the year of the stat stuff and making sure the legacy is intact. And you know what? We probably won't even really think about it 15, 20 years from now. We probably will in the next 5 to 10 years. But in such a social media-driven world where everything's such fast pace, you don't remember this 15 years from now unless you're just a basketball junkie like me that will point to that and say it was all about him back then.
Like I said, ladies and gentlemen, he eats it, he sleeps it, he breathes it. the CEO of Hardwood Hoop Central, Stephen Barnhart. Thank you for another sermon, sir, as always. And where can people grab you, man?
You can get me on Twitter at HW Hoop Central. HardwoodHoopCentral.com is the website. Our podcast is up there. We do shows probably every Thursday if we can. You know, it depends on my schedule. I'm the diva of the show. So bottom line is, if you can't already tell. But anyway, we do as much as we can, and get to know, tweet me, do whatever.
Hey, Brittany, appreciate you coming on, man. Good stuff.
All right, brother. Take care.
All right, man. You too. Later. I told you. Every time that dude comes on, it's a sermon. And so if you ever wanted to get caught up in basketball, check that dude out.